Hey everybody, welcome to the WWE Podcast. I've got a very interesting show for you guys today with Mary Grainer returning to the show to give her thoughts on the whole virus, what she's doing, what she's been up to. And as we get closer to WrestleMania, we take a look at Raw and SmackDown, some of the big moments that happened this past week with Edge's promo, Austin with no audience doing his 316-day gimmick with Byron Saxton, Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak. What do we think about that team? And as well as AJ Undertaker, Gronkowski as the host of WrestleMania, Goldberg Reigns, and a lot more. So I think you guys are going to enjoy this one. Sit tight. We'll be right back after this word from the sponsor. So stay right here.
It's time to critically revisit belief.
Statistically, there are aliens.
I'm actually not a crazy person. I just sound like one.
Stepping into a space where nothing is off limits.
Why does God change his mind on little things like where you put your genitalia?
In the riskiest and most controversial podcast on religion ever made.
Join me, Cale O'Donnell, as I interview your favorite YouTube personalities, cult leaders, and even adult entertainers to explore beliefs around the world.
Listen to the latest episode of Why Believe on Apple Podcasts today.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? 'Cause Stone Cold said so.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show as we roll on in this new world of ours. Everything is upside down, inside out. We don't know which way is up. We're on Netflix. We're checking our phones. Rinse and repeat, basically, right? You go grab something to eat, come back, go to the bathroom, and rinse and repeat. That seems to be the daily routine for the majority of us, unless you have kids, in which God bless us all. God help us all. I mean, yours truly as well. It is, it's challenging when you're home. And I know there's a meme going around of, now everyone gets to see what single mothers do in the job that they don't have or something like that. And, or stay at home moms, not single moms, but, so it's a crazy time, right? I mean, I don't need to remind you, it's being pushed in our face every chance you get. And I won't get too personal, as some people don't like when some people don't really like when I talk about my personal life too much, so I'm going to keep that to a minimum, but some people do, so I don't know what to do. You know what I'm going to do? It's probably what I want to do. How about that? I'm going to do whatever I feel because this is my damn show, and so if you don't like it, I mean, there's always the skip ahead button. I mean, I'm not being nasty. I'm just saying, hey, there is that option to scrub ahead, or there is the option to just not listen. So, hey, if you like it, great. If you don't, I mean, I can't please everybody. So this is a show that I'm just going to be authentic and true to myself and true to the show, true to what this is about. And that is really pro wrestling. So I'll try not to get on too many personal tangents, but they will occasionally happen. So we're here to talk about wrestling because that's what we're here to do is escape. We're here to escape from this COVID-19 coronavirus or Chinese virus or whatever the hell we're calling it. Oh, wait, don't call it Chinese virus. God almighty, that's racist. Apparently that's racist, even though there's, you know, there were German measles, there were the Ebola, right? I mean, there was the Spanish flu. I mean, just to name a few things that were also named at their point of origin, yet somehow when Trump says it's the Chinese virus is racist, it's racist because it's Trump, right? I mean, I don't know. I'm not giving you my political views on everything, but whether you like Trump, hate Trump, are you really going to side with the Chinese government? A completely communist government over this whole thing when Trump calls it the Chinese virus. I don't know. It's sometimes silly how we try to turn this political. But when you just look back and go, hey, wait a minute. What about all these other diseases that were named at their point of origin? And by the way, Chinese is not an ethnicity. It's a nationality. So I don't know. People are losing their damn minds. Anyway, we're here to talk about wrestling. I'm sure I'm going to get somebody on here going, oh my God, he's ranting about politics. This isn't about wrestling. Whatever. I mean, review me all you want, right? So, I don't know. I'm on a tear today on this. I guess I'm being pent up frustration for just being locked down for a week. I mean, it's only been a week, and we've got many, many more weeks to go. So let's talk about wrestling, because we continue with these empty arena matches. We continue with them, and I talked to Mary Grader about her perspective on what she thinks about the empty arena shows and WrestleMania being 2 days, and the rumors about Vince going to Madison Square Garden for the WrestleMania. We talk about Austin. We talk about Edge. I mean, we really covered a lot of things. One thing we didn't cover, and that's why I want to bring it to your attention and give you my thoughts on it now, is Otis snapping on SmackDown in his tag team match with Miz and Morrison, and snapping after Dolph Ziggler made his way to the ring, put himself on commentary, and then proceeded to show Otis pictures of him and Mandy on a beach or something. And Otis finally snapped at that and took out Miz and Morrison, went after Ziggler, got a little bit of retribution on Ziggler, was about to hit him with a chair, and then didn't. And it was because Miz and Morrison were able to stop him. Ziggler looked concerned as we had Otis snap and then start hitting Miz and Morrison with the steel chair. And so it was nice to see a different side of Otis that's not this huggable. Jeez, I combined huggable and lovable in one word. So how about that? This lovable, kind of jolly, good time, working man, relatable guy to somebody that finally snapped. And I'm for it. I like it. I like this different side of Otis. That's this aggressive, push me over the edge, and this is what happens type of caveat to his personality that needed it. And having him chase Ziggler and not get the level of retribution that we all wanted to see made sense. Which tells me you're getting a one-on-one Otis versus Ziggler match at Mania. And it'll be interesting to see where Mandy's inserted in on that, if she is in the corner of Ziggler or if she's in the corner of Otis by the end of the match. I think that's where the story's going to lie, is where does Mandy's heart truly lie? And maybe by the end of that match, we see her and Otis share a kiss. I mean, I think that could be WrestleMania worthy, obviously with no crowd interaction and crowd response. It's kind of awkward. But a lot of things are awkward nowadays, and I think eventually we may get used to this format of empty arenas being the sites of Raw and SmackDown for the foreseeable future. So it's just a strange new world, the new norm, right? It's just a new norm of life. Your daily life has been upheaved. It's been completely upside down, as all of ours has, right? I mean, at least you can take comfort in the fact that you're not the only one. Even though you may feel like the only one because you're home by yourself or home with a very limited amount of people, it's millions and millions of people going through this. So, nonetheless, I appreciate WWE for pumping these shows out. It's something to talk about. It gives this show a breath of fresh air every week, every day. Not that the show would have stopped, but it would have been very difficult to talk about current product when it didn't exist. So that's always a good thing. And I'm looking forward to the 2 day event of WrestleMania. I really think it's going to be something that we talk about for a while, even though the crowd's not there. And yeah, that's really, really tough. But it's going to be what it's going to have to be. I mean, it's either that or WWE just puts their entire product on hold for months and months and months, which I don't think any of us would want. And I think if you had been given the option of one or the other, most of us would have chosen just give us empty arena matches and we will, we'll deal with that over nothing at all. And I appreciate that. And WWE is one of the few sports. And I know I don't want to get in an argument about what's a true sport. Let's just call it a sport right now. Okay. That really the only sport that is operating. And so that's a pretty damn cool thing, I think. All right, well, let's get into the conversation with Mary, and I will give you a quick warning. There are a few cuss words that get dropped, but if you are you have kids and you have me on a speaker, then I would advise that maybe you turn it down. It's not cussing the whole show. Trust me, we don't cuss to cuss. But this was a much more kind of informal show than usual, as WWE has, and the world has been kind of presented that way over the last few days and really up to a week now. we kind of let loose sometimes. And, you know, it only happened a few times, but I want to just be sensitive and be courteous to the fact that if you have little kids and maybe you don't want them to hear certain words, then maybe put headphones on for this show or just turn the volume down. Again, it only happens a few times and it's not until deeper into the show. But I think that it is something that is worth mentioning because I know I do have a younger audience, and sometimes people put me on a speaker and I just want to be mindful of that. So there's my kind card for the day, my good deed, if you will. Alrighty, well, let's get to it. And guys, just so you know, my schedule is going to be just as normal. On Tuesday, I'll be back with the review of Monday Night Raw with Michael Gross. He'll be joining me on Tuesday to discuss Monday Night Raw. Tomorrow, though, we'll get Aiden's analysis on SmackDown. Wednesday will be Wrestling Nostalgia. Thursday will be NXT. Friday's AEW. And then, boom, back to your regularly scheduled weekend review. I believe Ashley is this week, if I'm not mistaken. Sometimes I get lost in the sauce of everything going on. But that's the schedule. It's business as usual here. Hopefully you guys are finding some kind of norm. Many of you are telecommuting like myself, so tomorrow I'm actually kind of, quote, going to work. I say that very loosely. But I do have to be available anyway. I guess that's the perception as I stay home for probably a couple months. I don't see it resolving itself, the situation resolving itself really any sooner. But hopefully you're adjusting. Hopefully you're enjoying wrestling. Do something that distracts your brain. Go for a run. Go for a jog. Go for a walk if you don't want to exercise that intensely. Do something, right? As the weather gets warmer and nicer, it's going to be easier to get outside and take comfort in that. And we'll all get through this. This is a bizarre, bizarre time. But sometimes you think back and all of a sudden it's just out of nowhere. Like you were just living your life and then everything the next day was just gone. You're home. Everyone's in quarantine. Boom, boom, boom. You know, what's up is down. What's down is up. So this is something that we will never forget. Never forget. And that's what brings us closer to as human beings with each other is shared experiences. And boy, do you have a lot of people to share this one with. I mean, I don't think you'll have too hard of a time. This isn't a hurricane. This isn't a flood. This isn't a snowstorm. This isn't an earthquake. This isn't even a terrorist attack that would bring tons and tons of people together. This is something that worldwide we share as human beings. So take comfort in that. But all right, let's get to Mary Grader and myself as we discuss everything that happened this week in WWE, almost everything. And we talk about WrestleMania as well. That is really, my God, 2 weeks from tonight. It's insane, but it's awesome. So take comfort in the fact that WrestleMania is still happening. I know it's not in front of an audience, but at least it is happening. And it's either that or push it back to when, right? August, September, October? No. So everyone be safe. Have fun, do something to get your mind off things, and I will talk to you soon. Alrighty, welcome to one of the strangest times in history, one of the strangest times as a wrestling fan, as a human being, and it is, our lives as we know it have turned upside down, and our day-to-day lives are just completely just disheveled. We're not sure which way is up. And we're only a week into this lockdown, depending, of course, on where you are. I'm in New York, and we have Mary Grader on the other side of the line here who's in Jersey. And so we are one of the top five states, New York being number one by a wide margin, in terms of the numbers of infected and all that kind of stuff. But we're here to talk about wrestling. And Mary, how are you dealing with this whole thing? And what do you think about these empty arenas that have been going on, the WWE putting on the shows at the empty arenas?
Well, first off, thank you for having me tonight. Two, I hope that everybody who's listening to this is being safe and being cautious and they're taking care of, their elderly, which I am trying to do begrudgingly right now. Everything's kind of crazy right now, you know, like I don't know what's going on. We're in unprecedented times. I don't even know if this is going to be the last time in our lifetimes that we see this. This may be a precursor to things to come, but I just hope everybody's being safe and staying home and watching a whole bunch of TV shows, which is what I've been doing because I was trying to keep track of all this, and then I started binging TV shows. And Dare Me on USA. It's about cheerleaders, but it's a really good murder mystery. Watch it. Everything's crazy right now. M2Arena stuff is weird. I work in sports, as most of you guys must know or maybe know, for SiriusXM. My department has been completely shut down because there are no sports right now. So the only thing that's going on is the draft for NFL, which probably should have been suspended, but whatever, because they're throwing around $30 million contracts when people don't know how they're going to pay their bills next week. But that's the USA, right? Empty arena things, it bothers me, but it doesn't. There's been a lot of videos online that have made it kind of like avant-garde and like putting music to the background. Like I saw like a seriously funny video last week of Cena and Wyatt talking, and somebody put I think the Twin Peaks music to it, to the background. So it made it interesting. The thing with WWE, especially in times like this, I mean, this is unprecedented. We don't even know what's going on right now. But like after 9/11, WWE took it upon themselves to entertain the masses. And I appreciate that. I really, really do. Because especially with sports being canceled, like it was the end of the basketball season, the end of the NHL season. Final Four got canceled. These are all things that I work with, you know, and then baseball was just starting up. I understand wanting to entertain people who need sports in their lives, and it's great. But some of the decisions that have been made right now in lieu to big events, so like WrestleMania and stuff like that, being in the arenas, like, and being down in NXT arena and where the practice area is, I don't really have a problem with it. It's been weird watching WWE programming just because you're watching it for, like, promos, which Edge had a phenomenal promo on Monday, and then they're replaying Royal Rumble, and I've already seen this stuff. So it's a weird thing to navigate right now. How are you feeling about it, Matt?
Well, in my shows this past few days, I've reiterated that it's the strangest thing I've ever dealt with in my 35 years now. It is something that I think we'll look back on and go, oh my God, remember that? Remember how crazy that was? I think that, you know, the problem is that we don't have an end date. I think it's kind of like going on a diet where they tell you no fat, no carbs, no sugar, but, you know, just until further notice. I mean, that's a lot harder to do than just do it for 3 weeks and then it'll be over with. And so I think not having an end date, because it's such a disruption in everyone's lives, is probably the hardest part for most of us, that we just don't know when things are going to go back to normal. We have no idea. And you can listen to the experts and what the CDC predicts, and you've heard doom and gloom. I've heard anything from a month to 18 months. I mean, you have no idea. But what I do know is that whenever this comes back, whenever the light switch is finally pushed back to on, that you're going to have a conglomeration, assuming that, you know, which most seem to be predicting it'll come back, you know, life will be as normal sometime this summer. If that's the case, you're going to have the conglomeration of like four major sports in the United States. You're going to have the NFL starting up. You're going to have baseball season. You're going to have hockey, and you're going to have the NBA finals. I mean, you're going to have a mass amount of TV, plus all the pent up frustration and demand. I really think that things could bounce back in a really big way. I mean, yes, this is all assuming that things come back as they were before, and that, you know, we're able to resume life as we knew it. But the thing is, I think if you focus on that how awesome it's going to be and how much you'll appreciate it, how much we'll appreciate sports, wrestling on top of it. So there's your fifth one right there. And I think it could be a really huge bounce back. And I think that it'll be, especially if it's in summertime, you'll have people outside and barbecues, bars will be full again, restaurants will be full again, and you'll have every sport you can ever want on TV at the same time, that for the first time ever. So I think if people try to look at it from that perspective, and empty or full wrestling arenas again, I think you might be able to get through this a little bit harder. But the timeline, that it's just indefinitely, is really what's the mental job right now.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you just said. I think there's going to be a huge bounce back for sports in general. So I understand why Vince, maybe, even though he's been kind of weird right now, is doing their stuff. Like, XFL was the last thing to cancel. I understand wanting to entertain the people while we're in this very uncertain time, and I appreciate it. But we got to look at things going forward, as you're saying, and, like, keeping people safe. So WrestleMania being canceled or hasn't been canceled or being removed or moved makes sense. And the thing about WWE performers other than professional sports is that that's their life. They just live to perform you. Like, professional players don't give a crap if you care about them or not. They're going to just do what they're going to do, you know, and, like, it is what it is. But, like, professional wrestlers specifically, they care. They want to be able to be there for you. So while this is all going on and everything that's going on and everything is crazy and my life's been crazy, I'm sure Matt's life has been crazy. Some of the promos that we have gotten during this stuff is kind of like promo school. People were saying about that online. I think we've gotten some of the best stuff promo wise because there's no rules right now. And I mean, I kind of like no rules, you know. Do you like no rules, Matt?
Sign me up. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, what you don't have, you don't know if tomorrow is guaranteed. I think that the wrestlers right now that are still performing and doing everything that they're doing in their capacity to try to entertain fans and keep them calm, I think we've gotten some really good promos right now. And, like, Edge's promo on Monday was fantastic. The stuff between Cena and Wyatt has been absolutely great. And I don't have any complaints. I mean, it's just weird watching a live show that is in an empty arena and then them replaying, like, an old pay-per-view to fill in time. So that's the only thing that has been kind of, like, I'll be honest, I told you before the show, I didn't really watch SmackDown this week because I knew that they were going to replay something that had already gone on. I was trying to keep up on the promos and the matches that were live and stuff like that, but it's a different environment, and, like, I think there is still a positivity that things can grow. What do you think?
There is. And while, you know, I was kind of mixed on WWE putting in filler matches, and we saw the Royal Rumble in its entirety.
Yeah.
And I get it, and some people love it, some people hate it. Most people are kind of indifferent or tune out and come back after it's over. At least on this SmackDown, we did get a Bray Wyatt, John Cena, WrestleMania 30 match. So it was something relevant. It made sense to show that if you're trying to fill time with a pre-recorded match or something from the past that you integrated into the story that's going on. So to see that match again, and I watched the last 40% of it with Wyatt and Cena at WrestleMania 30, it was nice to see that match again to remind yourself of what the story WWE is trying to tell of John Cena and The Fiend, being that the downfall of Bray Wyatt's career started at WrestleMania 30. And that The Fiend was born that night. I mean, that's kind of a stretch, right? I mean, it's not exactly the low point of his career, but I guess if you look at it as a whole, fine. Okay, Bray Wyatt was on the ascent until WrestleMania 30, and if you want to use that as a general time in which Bray Wyatt's career took a downturn, fine. I mean, there were certainly some moments he had beyond that that were not exactly the pits of his career, but fine, I'm with the story. So if they're going to do it, at least make it relevant. And they did this time. And like you said, the empty arena promos, it can be very awkward or it can be a slam dunk. I think last week's SmackDown certainly was great with Cena and Wyatt. That worked very, very well. Edge's promo worked very, very well. I really enjoyed those two things. I guess the aura is still a little weird, and it's a constant reminder, even though WWE is an escape from what we're trying to see on a daily basis, you're constantly reminded by the empty seats of what's going on. So no matter where you go, you can't hide from what's going on in the outside world. But I appreciate what WWE is trying to do instead of just pausing the entire show and moving it to June or July. And I'm totally on board for that. It's funny, when the loudest thing in the arena is Michael Cole's voice. I mean, you can hear his commentary while the match is going on, which means the guys in the ring can hear the commentary with what's going on. And sometimes I hear calls that they make in the ring, and I don't want to hear that stuff because that really takes me out of the moment. But, I mean, it is what it is. I'm not complaining. It's just, it's a very, very strange vibe.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what's going to be the normal going forward, you know. I haven't been watching other federations because everything's so crazy right now. I'm just trying to, like, distract myself from the news. So, like, I've been watching a lot of TV shows and stuff like that. I've been trying to keep up on wrestling. But, like, there are the arguments that AEW is doing this better than WWE. But I just appreciate both of them in general. You know, trying to put on stuff to entertain the masses that is new and live. So while Cole echoing through an arena is jarring because he's Cole, I think that they are doing something that is a service to the public. I don't think any of this is bad. Maybe certain steps that they're taking could be questioned, but at the bottom line, as much as we may bitch and as much as we may have questions about how WWE in general, I mean, that's the masses, that's the big company, do things for the fans, I really think that they're just trying to, on a level, be like, hey, this is normalcy, let's do this. And I appreciate that more than anything right now because, like I said, we'll get to WrestleMania stuff later. I have a bunch of questions or, like, options that I think that, like, they could do. And I just think that right now everybody's so uncertain and we need that stuff. So, like, I don't really care what they put out. The Mojo Rawley, what's his name, Gronk?
Yeah, Gronkowski, stuff, like, yeah.
Was a good show.
That stuff. This is the kind of stuff. And I understand WWE's temptation to bring in a star like that. He is... You could argue one of the top 10 greatest tight ends of all time in professional football. I get it. And he was on one of the winningest teams in professional football history, the New England Patriots. On that team for 20 seasons, right? Like forever. I understand all of the accolades that he has had. I understand that. He is a household name to some degree. I understand that. But... a lot of times, more often than not, you have a star in another sport or another form of entertainment translate themselves into WWE often doesn't translate. I would say 9 times out of 10, it's either eye-rolling, embarrassing, or just flat-out doesn't work because that person isn't fully invested or it just looks like they're trying too hard. It just never usually is a natural fit, 9 times out of 10. Of course, you have your exceptions. Ronda Rousey, Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle. We've seen people do this before, but it's a very rare instance. So do I think Gronkowski is going to be a great fit in WWE? Time will tell. My odds would say no. I don't think he will. We've seen it not work before. I understand he's a larger-than-life personality, and he's all about partying, and that's what he's trying to convey on TV. This past week on SmackDown with him and Mojo coming out and saying, get hyped, get hyped. They look like a bunch of high school jock a-holes. I mean, they're playing the baby faces when you have King Corbin come out and try to run them down, and you have Gronkowski and Mojo Rawley do the old... you know, I'll stand behind you on all fours and I'll push you over. I mean, it's embarrassing, especially if you're trying to get Gronkowski over as a babyface. I will say, outside of Goldberg, Reigns, and we'll get to that too, I think these two guys, Mojo Rawley and Gronkowski, should be thanking the gods, the wrestling gods, and not JBL, just the wrestling gods that exist, that they do not have to perform in front of a live audience at WrestleMania this year in Tampa, because I think they would have gotten destroyed by the audience. They are obnoxious. They do not fit. And I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of Gronkowski right now, at least on a babyface level. So I'll leave it at that.
He's in the same vein that, I'm going to try to remember the MMA guys. So you're going to have to help me with this about right now. With
Conor McGregor?
No. The guys that signed with Cain Velasquez. And who is the other one?
The recent.
So it was Cain, and who is the other guy? There was another guy.
Don't know.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. It's in the same vein as that. That's what it is. I understand who Gronk is. His former quarterback retiring and siding with another team is completely shadowed that. I'm not going to get into sports right now, but like Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay is just, you know, and I hate Tom Brady. Like, I do. I hate him. My team has beaten him twice. The Eagles has beaten him once. I think he's a smug motherfucker, but despite that, I still think he's the greatest of all time, and there's no denying that. Anybody who tries to argue that about, like, Tom Brady not being the greatest quarterback of all time, don't talk to them about sports. And, like, I only follow, like, football, like, at this point. I used to follow hockey a lot, but, like, football is the only sport that I still really follow, and I have a passion for it. My father was a football coach. It's ingrained in me, you know? So, Gronk, like, debuting on, like, SmackDown, yeah, he could be the host, but, like, he's doing a stupid dance. Like, it's in the same vein of Velasquez and them in Fury. Was it Fury? Fury was there.
Tyson Fury. There you go. Boxer.
So, yeah. Them, like, trying to put, like, major people in a spot in wrestling, and like we've learned time and again this doesn't work. Like, yeah, it works with Brock or Kurt Angle. These guys were elite athletes. I'm not saying that these guys aren't elite athletes. I'm just saying it's a different fucking, excuse my French, effing world. It doesn't make sense. So I have my reservations about it. Like, I don't think that, like honestly, on a level, I don't think that, like, Gronk would be a bad wrestler. I don't think he would. Just the way that they're splaying him. That's the difference between him and Ronda Rousey. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ronda, she wasn't an NFL guy. She was an MMA person, but, like, Ronda was already doing wrestling stuff, and she took all this stuff seriously. Yes, she was a fan. I'm not saying that Gronk wasn't a fan. I'm sure he was, and I'm sure he appreciates the business, but Ronda was already working the wheel, like, you know, before she even got into this, and, like, just, she's a Kurt Angle. She's one of those transitioners, or Brock Lesnar, that happens. And like, between them trying to find a Trish Stratus in the women's division and them trying to find a Kurt Angle or a Ronda Rousey, I mean, I think Ronda is the closest to Kurt Angle right now, like transitioning from sport to sport. Between them, like, being like occupied by that, they're signing big names, and does it really matter in the end?
No, I mean, it's not an easy thing to transition into. You have, guys and gals come over here thinking what they see on TV is easier to do than when they get there. And when they get there, it's a whole different world. There's things you have to understand. Camera angles. There's timing. There's there's obviously the physical part of it, but there's also the ring psychology is not easy to learn. There is a myriad of things. It's not just, oh, I got to carry the football. I got to learn our plan. How do I go here? Be more aggressive. It's much more simplistic, I think, in a traditional, quote, sport in the United States than the professional wrestling because of so many other elements other than just the in-ring part. You obviously with promos, probably the hardest thing to learn is promos. And Gronkowski he can be himself and get over, maybe, but I don't think he'll get over as a babyface. And like you said, the presentation with Gronkowski has been very obnoxious. It's at least so far has been party boy, kind of frat boy a-hole that thinks he's, you know, the hottest thing since sliced bread. That has been the presentation, and I really, really dislike that presentation. It's an immature, like I said, frat house boy type of personality that I can't stand. It is the antithesis of my being, and I don't like the way that's portrayed, and I don't know how anyone can tell me, oh, they're trying to get him as a heel. No, they're not, because you have King Corbin interrupt. I mean, arguably the biggest heel that SmackDown has. So I don't want to hear that argument either. So, I mean, Gronkowski right now, I don't know what he's going to do. I hope he gets his ass handed to him somehow at WrestleMania. I don't think he will because from everything I'm hearing, he's actually signed a true contract with WWE, not just a one-off. And if that's the case, I mean, I don't need to see this in WWE if it's going to be an embarrassment on a weekly basis or at least miscast on a weekly basis. So I want to move on from Gronk just because he's starting to get under my skin right now. So Austin 316 Day. Wanted to hear, and you know, my quick thoughts on this is that without a crowd, my God, it really hurts Austin. And he is my favorite of all time. He is the GOAT, the true GOAT, not the Becky Lynch self-appointed GOAT. He is truly the GOAT. And I really think that having an empty arena is probably the most striking and damaging to Stone Cold because he's such a huge, it's such a huge part of what Austin is the massive reaction. And when nothing is happening and they're playing to a crowd that's not there, I know they were dealt a crap hand and they're doing the best they can with it. But outside of that, with the cue cards and Byron Saxton rating him like he's a judge at Olympic event or something. I mean, it was what it was. I thought the cue cards were kind of out of Austin's realm. It was weird that he was defining what 316 Day meant, and then Byron Saxton ends up eating a stunner. I will just say to end it, it really hurts when Austin doesn't have a crowd to work off of because his character is built around that.
So my opinion going into this was like, this is going to be the first time in, 20-plus years, right? That Austin is going to walk out and his music's going to hit and he's not going to get a reaction. And like Austin still to this day gets the biggest reaction for anybody because he's Steve Austin. He's a messiah. Screw Seth. He's a messiah, you know? So, I just wanted to see how he reacted to it. And Stone Cold at this point, like him personally and how he has come out in the last couple years, he's been very like, oh, I love all you guys, you know? So I figured he would work with it well. I thought the whole segment was great. I mean, people are worried right now and like, you just need like Stone Cold, like throwing beers on people. Byron Saxton, despite whatever, like, even being an idiot and a drooling idiot while he was getting stunned, like, he played his role. Like, he did his thing. Like, if you saw the stuff that happened after Raw went off the air and you had the Street Profits came out and how they were selling stunners, it's fine. I mean, I personally went on Twitter and was like, I want to see Becky Lynch and Stone Cold have this drink off. And, like, she's an Irish gal, you know? So let's see who, like, you know, comes out on top. I didn't really have a problem with it. I mean, it was still Stone Cold. I know they gave him cue cards. I wish he would have, like, went off on a rant about, like, you know, being there for each other right now because he's done that in the last couple appearances, like, saying how much he loves his family and stuff like that and the wrestling family. But, like, I really, like, overall, I didn't have a problem with it. I was in New York on Tuesday night, and, like, we went out and bought Stone Cold beer. We had Steve Weiser's. it was the first time that I tried that beer, and it was just because I was so enjoying the fact that he was going out there doing his thing. You had Becky come out, like, yeah, I mean, she's not a goat, but like, she's acting as a goat right now. And he's got a respect for her because I think that, like, he also understands that she has gotten the biggest reaction with her being bloodied and stuff since he has, you know? So it was a fun time. I didn't dismiss it. I didn't think it was bad. I love the fact that, like Byron was just, like, kind of, like, being a bumbling idiot and taking, like, you know, stunners. The WWE right now can make a whole bunch of money about, like, Stone Cold just coming out and stunning people randomly. So I think, in my opinion, my personal opinion, I enjoyed it. It was the only part of, like, Raw that I enjoyed, just because, not that I didn't enjoy the matches, it's just everything's uncertain right now, you know, and that was familiarity. It was Stone Cold being Stone Cold. Yeah, he had some cue cards and he was reading bad jokes, but, like, he's done that in the past. He was just doing his thing, you know what I mean? And I loved it. So what do you think?
I will give you this. I think anytime you have beer and stunners in a ring, it's a good day, at the office, as he would say. It always will bring a smile to my face. It never gets old. And how people are still falling for, let's clash a beer and actually drink it, and, you know, I trust you're not going to stun me, is 20 years later is hilarious. It actually, I think, is funnier that Byron Saxton, for all the time that he has been a wrestling fan and watched wrestling, doesn't know the routine of getting in the ring and sharing a beer with Austin means you're getting stunned. I know that feeds into it, and that makes it funnier. And Byron, to his credit, is, I think, a natural heel. I will always believe that Byron Saxton has an obnoxious vibe about him, and that he has a very punchable face, because he's kind of like that. He's that arrogant guy that he looks like he was pulled from a GQ magazine, but he's got an arrogance about him that, if you ever wanted to transition those skills into being a heel manager, I think he could, because I'm not dissing him by any means. Saying that all those things means that he's doing his job, and being a heel, if he really wanted to, he could really do a great job at being a heel manager. But he did what he was supposed to do. Apparently Austin kicked him below the belt pretty damn hard, and Austin had to go get x-rays. I don't know if that came back or not. But he kicked him pretty damn hard and dropped him. And then, yeah, I saw the stuff with the Street Profits and the beer and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I just hope they do a redo on this whenever they get a chance to, in front of a live audience. I think it really, really, really is hurting. Not that anybody did a bad job. Everyone did what they were supposed to do. But hearing the pop of the crowd with the stunners and the beer, it that's, to me, what really brings the emotion to it and like a substance to it. But I loved it. I mean, it's from the perspective of hell. It's Austin. It takes my mind off what's going on in the world. Stunners, beer, it doesn't get any better than that.
I mean, and I agree with you. I hope they got, like, a recoil so they can, you know, do this in front of a live audience. You know what I'm saying? But, like, there was just something so comforting about Austin, like, just stunning people. Like, poor Beal, that ring was a mess, man. There was so much beer all over everything. And, like, my friend pointed out to me that, like, Stone Cold was doing his gig, you know? It was just, like, pour beer. So Becky was drinking all that stuff. She was, like, letting, like, a sip go out. So, like, Becky, and that thing, she was like, oh, I'm gonna get hammered, you know? And that's what everybody's doing right now. Like, not for nothing. That's what people are drinking right now. They're doing whatever they're gonna do. There was, like, last week before Colbert went off the air, Stephen Colbert, if you don't watch the show, and I haven't watched him in months because, like, it just got repetitive, but his last show, he apparently opened the show with a bottle of bourbon and he just started getting wasted on stage. And I was mad that I missed it, you know, because he's trying to relate to people right now. So even though it's a little fictional, so-called, like, stunning everybody, you know what I mean? Them drinking beer and having a good time in the ring and, like, just doing what they do and being there. Like, Stone Cold Steve Austin being there in the middle of all this is so huge. You know, because a lot of people wouldn't do that stuff. Like, everybody's being super careful right now. I hope people are being super careful right now. But famous people are being, you know, Stone Cold's in that range. He's in his mid-50s, man. He could still get it. But, like, he went out there and he did what he had to do for the company. And that just, that's what makes him the GOAT. Like, screw your Hulk Hogan stuff aside. I legitimately, Stone Cold is the best thing that ever happened in the WWE. And anybody who argues with me or tries to be like, oh, Hulk Hogan's the best, blah, 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 I will fight you. I will fist fight you. He's just, he comes through in any time of need and just makes everything seem kind of sane, even if it's not sane.
It's like all's right in the world when Stone Cold and his music hits. It's just like, you just go, ah, there it is. I mean, I still, after all these years of Austin and being retired from the ring since, what, 2003 at WrestleMania 19, I still at times, when heels are beating down a babyface at the end of Raw, I still have them back in my mind that the glass is going to break. I mean, it's just, it's so ingrained in my mind that he is a part of the WWE, and it was so strong and it was so hot. Nobody in the history of wrestling burned hotter than Stone Cold. You could say they burned longer. The Rock was there longer. Hogan was there longer. You know, John Cena was certainly there much longer, but nobody burned hotter than Stone Cold Steve Austin. I don't care. That's not even an argument.
No, it's not.
It's just science. So that is, it's still in my brain. And anytime he's there at his age, doing what he's got to do, he need to do that at this point in his life. He certainly doesn't need to. I just hope, you know, that again, I could say that, oh, well, hopefully he'll do it at WrestleMania. But again, it's not in front of a live audience. I was hoping that this would lead to a little bit more than just the stunners and beer, which is awesome in and of itself, but that it would lead to something more at WrestleMania, like him being a guest referee. I actually thought he would be the guest referee between Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. I thought that since Seth said to Kevin Owens a couple of weeks ago on Raw, hey, you can choose the time, you can choose the place, and you can choose the stipulation. I thought he would choose the time and place at WrestleMania, and the stipulation is a special guest referee of Stone Cold Steve Austin. And we didn't get that. We didn't get anything. We got it just the stunners and beer. Again, that's fine. But so close to WrestleMania time, I was hoping we'd get a little bit more, and we didn't.
Okay, so segueing, since you're so good at setting up, how do you feel about this WrestleMania situation? How do you feel about, like, in a time like that, this or that? I'm saying that, but it's this. How do you feel about McMahon not calling WrestleMania and being forced for Tampa Bay? And before you go into your stuff, I saw that, like, yeah, it's been moved to the NXT Performance Center, which is awesome. I mean, they're all down there right now anyway. Why not? But, like, the rumors were on, I think it was Tuesday. So on Tuesday, I see an article pops up that McMahon's trying to get in the Garden. And I'm just like, why? Like, I understand that the Garden holds more people than the NXT arena. But you're not getting any fans anyway. So, like, why would you try to do that? And, like, de Blasio and, like, Cuomo right now, if you are from my region, I am a New Yorker, New Jerseyan. Like, they are going to let that crap happen. So, like, what are you doing? Like, if you're not going to have any fans, this is my proposal, okay? I'm giving my proposal right now. I don't know if anybody else is doing this. Maybe it'll show up on another show tomorrow. Right, Matt? Like, this keeps happening. So, and I'm not naming names because I'm still in a zone right now. So, like, hey, so you're not going to get any fans going into Garden, right? I mean, you can't. I know first off, I'm still mad that they didn't have WrestleMania 30 at the Garden. I was always mad about that because all the Garden, all the WrestleManias, the 10 years were at the Garden. You guys wanted more people, so you stopped doing that. So the Garden, why it's the mecca for wrestling, has been obsolete for years, and they've only been doing house shows. And literally, what was it like, Matt? A year in the last year, they started doing live shows there again.
Yep.
Okay, so I understand that the Garden is a lot of money to rent. You're still the WWE. You got a lot of money. I don't want to hear that crap. Anyway, so your mania has been scratched from Tampa Bay. You move it to NXT. Okay, fine. And then, like, you're trying to move to the Garden, and it's just like, why, though? You can't get fans. Like, I don't understand. Like, in New York, I'm living in Jersey, but I work in New York. I'm telling you people right now, if you don't know what's going actually on in New York, New York is shut down. There's nobody there. There are still people on the street. It's maybe more than, like, you know, a suburban place. But New York is shut the fuck down. And I'm whispering that because there's nothing going on right now. So why would you want to move something to another, what, because it's New York City? Like, you haven't had any of your pay-per-views there. You haven't, like, you haven't done anything there. And now all of a sudden, because you're in dire straits, you want to move into New York when you're not going to get the same amount of, like, it doesn't matter. Nobody's showing up there. So my thing is that, like, keep it at NXT Arena, which they obviously have done. This was a rumor, like, 5 days ago. They're having, you know, WrestleMania at the NXT Arena, and they spread it into 2 days, which they should have done to begin with because WrestleMania is way too long. Do you agree with that, Matt?
I think it should be a
two-day event. So you do that. So here's my other thing. I understand that you want to entertain the masses and there's not sports going on and, like, everybody's, like, needs something to do. So, like, you have the 2 days. My thing is, you have WrestleMania, and all the wrestlers that are wrestling during the match that is currently going on, they should be in the arena, right? And they should be giving their honest reaction to it. So everybody who is scheduled to be in NXT Arena for WrestleMania should be sitting in the audience and having a live reaction, because the thing is that, like, I think that they should postpone WrestleMania. WrestleMania is what it is, but, like, it's nothing without the fans. And, like, you stopping it from being in arenas like Madison Square Garden because it only has 25,000 people, you want 80,000 people. Okay, that's fair. But, like, you're putting on this huge spectacle and you have nobody's putting 80,000, 100,000 people on right now. Like, just be smart. You should have postponed it. But if you're going to do, if you're going to do it and you're going to go on and you want to entertain the masses because everybody is unsure right now, and that's what WWE is. That's why I love them. They are as frustrating as they are sometimes. They really do good things for people. Have the matches. Have it in NXT. Don't worry about Madison Square Garden just because it's a name. Have your wrestlers in the crowd reacting to the event. And on top of that, this event should be live on Fox. You have a contract with Fox. SmackDown is on Fox. There is nothing on Sunday nights right now on Fox because everything is dead and everybody is restricted. If you continue to do this stuff and, like, you want to put out a show and be there for the masses and entertain them, the best thing you can do for you, business-wise and publicly, is air WrestleMania on Fox for 2 days free to everybody. Because the people that don't have their sports right now are going to turn into you, and people that have nothing to watch are going to turn into you right now, and they're going to get exposed. And that's why you have your wrestlers in the audience as fans. And that's what you should be doing right now. Because if you're really trying to do this thing where you want to entertain the masses, don't limit it to your network and pay-per-view. You got a contract with a public station. Fox is a public station. You went through all these obstacles to get it. Just air it from there. And it would be the first time that you had a pay-per-view, a WrestleMania match on public TV. How much air would you get, Vince, since you've been, like, weird about this whole thing about calling it WrestleMania? Do it.
I didn't think about putting the whole show on Fox. Could they do it? Sure.
No, they absolutely could.
Yeah, they could do it. And having this 2-day event, I think it's actually partly by design, partly because they might be forced to. What I mean by forced to is not the fans complaining it's too long. They've heard that since they went to the stadium type of design at WrestleMania 21 or whatever it was. So I don't think that's part of it. I think that they may be indeed actually restricted by, and should be, by whatever the state of Florida, city of Tampa says you can have X amount of people in the building. So if you can have X amount of people in the building and it's only half those people that are needed in that day, maybe they're within the limits of whatever restriction is happening at that time. So while it's certainly a benefit in a 2-day event, and certainly we're all sitting at home twiddling our damn thumbs going, what are we supposed to do? And I love the format. I think it kind of just fell in their lap and almost they're forced to. By the same token, it is a good idea to do it two nights, whether it's for that reason or not, because it's a weekend event. It splits it up. It takes away exhaustion. It takes away the I don't need to see any more wrestling. Even the most ardent, hardcore fans at WrestleMania time go, oh my God, I can't handle this anymore. I need a break, and my brain needs a break from wrestling of 6-7 hours straight. So there's certainly benefits that could come from this, regardless of the purpose of why they did it. And it's going to be interesting to see what matches they put on day one and day two. We can speculate on that, in the weeks to come, or really the next week and a half to come. And so if Vince goes to the Madison Square Garden, I heard about that too. To me, that makes no sense from so many different levels. Number one, as you said, you can't have fans in the arena. So you're just going to say that you're going to Madison Square Garden to what? Say you're in the Garden versus the Performance Center? Well, great. You could be at Levi Stadium. There's nobody there. So it's just going to be, if that was indeed the case, it makes no sense. It's a lot more expensive to rent the Garden than it is to do it at your own Performance Center of a building that you own. And number two, no fans. And number three, you really want the press on you to look like you are in the epicenter of this pandemic, putting your performers at risk in a city that has the highest number of cases in the entire United States. It makes no sense on so many levels. And I mean, it's just plain stupid. So I heard that too. I saw that too. And I go, I don't know why Vince would do that. I just don't see that happening. So I think that WrestleMania doing two nights is going to be great. I don't know. Like you said, if you put wrestlers in the crowd, sure, they could do that. Again, within the probably 6 feet apart. I mean, I actually believe that they're going to abide by the rules. And they should, because why should everyone else have to abide by them when they don't? And their health is important, too. God forbid a WWE performer gets tests positive for COVID-19. I mean, my God, WWE would be under fire. Then the whole thing, they might shut down the whole company at that point and stop TV production. So they should keep their wrestlers' performance and health at number one, keep them 6 feet apart, have them in the audience. And I think that would be entertaining. I think you have to have somebody. I don't need a green screen, right? I don't need a green screen, because that would just, I mean, if you have a green screen of fans, people have proposed that, then it just, I would think that's hokey and kind of a distraction. So those are my thoughts. I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad they're putting it on. One last point on that. I thought about them. Why don't they just postpone it and do it when they can do it in front of fans? Well, if I'm in a meeting with Vince and I'm in a meeting with upper management, I mean, and the uncertainty of this whole thing is, what if it doesn't happen for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months? What are you going to just keep postponing it, postponing it, postponing it? And what? String out these storylines for 4, 5, 6, 7 months? It wouldn't make any sense. I'm with them on doing it when they had it scheduled and just moving on. And whenever the live events with fans pick up is where they'll pick up with their storylines and just move on from there, rather than just putting everything on hold and doing TV that is just going to be painful for 6 months to try to continue these stories, or just do, 90% of it is just retro matches and there's like 1% that's new content. So I'm with Vince on this. Originally I wanted it postponed, but how can you postpone something when you don't know the date that could just potentially keep evading you and going further and further and further into the future? So I think this is the best possible thing that they could have done.
No, and I get that. I'm so on the level with everything that you just said. I get it. And like I said, WWE, if people don't remember 9/11, this is what they do. You know, they want to distract people from everything that's going on. It's like that's what wrestling has always been to me. It's been an escape from what's going on in the real world. But the madness of moving it to the Garden for no reason, like, you're not going to get any fans there. You're not like, oh, I'm moving it to Madison Square Garden, they're going to let me have fans in there. No, you're not. So I'm okay with it being two nights. I think it's going to be better at two nights. I think that's what they should have done for a while, because it is super long. And, like, it gives the guys time to rest. But these guys are putting their lives at risk right now. I don't care what you believe about this virus, like, whatever. Nobody knows anything. So for you to make an assumption and think like, oh, they'll be okay. No, you don't. You know, these guys are in close proximity to each other. I mean, we've had some, like, stellar matches from Daniel Bryan and, like, Drew Gulak right now. I think it's great. But I also think be smart about it. Like, if you're going to do it, if your wrestlers, all your rosters there, most of them, right? Like, we're going to assume that most of the roster is on for WrestleMania, even if they're not wrestling. Have them sit in the stands, and, like, yeah, they can totally do the 6 feet apart and have their natural reaction, because wrestlers love wrestlers, right? So, like, they're going to react to anything that's going on in the ring. They're going to react like a fan. They're not going to react like a wrestler, you know? So you should be doing that. And the fact that they have a contract with Fox right now and they're not thinking about, okay, well, they're doing all this, like we just said, for stubborn things. And it's, oh, we got to entertain the masses, blah, blah, blah. That was my best Vince impersonation. It was really terrible. But put it on Fox. Like, you got a contract. Like, they've been having, like, kind of downs on the Fox. And, like, why wouldn't you approach Fox and be like, hey, we're going to put WrestleMania. We want to put WrestleMania on your channel. There's no sports right now. It's going to be a Saturday or Sunday night thing. People are bored. People get sick of their shows. I've gotten sick of my shows. I mean, I have a lot of shows to watch, but, like, sometimes I'm not in the mood to watch certain shows, so I'm watching old shows. I've been binging Supernatural right now. So, like, hey, why don't you just air it to the masses? And in the end, WWE will look like heroes for this, because they're the only live sports that are going on right now. I mean, UFC is, like, stuck their foot in crap and, like, rolled it around and stuff like that. That was one of the last ones, too. Don't be stupid, Vince. Like, just, like, kind of, I'm sure people are in his ear about this right now, but, like, I just think that's the best thing, and I think that would be, it would make a non-fan competency, whatever the term is, WrestleMania, great right now if you had your wrestlers in the stand reacting to the matches as they happen and, like, giving it free to the public. You're not going to lose that much money. Like, you really aren't. How much money do you have?
Well, I mean, Fox and WWE, they reached a record deal. I mean, over $1 billion. And, I mean, it was the day that WWE announced that, their stock went up, like, you know, 40%. I mean, like, so. And actually, it's funny that this conversation we're having now actually ties into a question we got from Zach, because I said, you know, you and I were trying to get a hold of Zach. And we said, hey, well, what do you, you know, we didn't know what he wanted to know. He said, thanks for reaching out, but he wanted to know if we thought they were going to keep continuing amid all the COVID-19 stuff. So I think we answered that. I think the answer is yes. I think no matter how long this lasts, you're going to continue to see these empty arena shows. And it'll just, I think, hopefully we'll get kind of used to it. It's weird hearing all the little, like, nuances and sounds that we never heard before in the shows, and hearing Michael Cole be the loudest thing in the arena. It's weird. We know that. We've discussed that. So, yeah, I think they're going to continue this. They'll continue it until, again, projections are, like, early summer at the best. That seems to be the best projections, that this whole thing ends in, you know, late May, early June. And it could. Who knows? Hopefully, God willing. But this is a it's strange. And speaking of strange, and I'm not trying to get you on a rant because I just needed to hear your thought.
You're
on this.
Always trying to get me on a rant.
No, I really and actually some I don't know if it's a rant as much as it's going to be. I don't care is probably going to be the response. But I wanted to know what you thought about Goldberg and Reigns, and I will just give my quick thoughts on this. Honestly, I don't have a whole lot to say about this other than. These are two of the probably happiest guys in the company that they don't have to perform in front of a live audience at WrestleMania, because I really believe that the crowd would have just probably rejected this match outright. I really believe that. So from that perspective, Goldberg and Reigns have lucked out. They don't have to relive Goldberg, Brock Lesnar from back in 2004 at WrestleMania 20. And it could have been that because the people, I believe, especially the WrestleMania crowd, are seeing through what WWE does with Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns' promos have completely undone the last couple weeks. All of the goodwill that WWE has put in him and that the fans started to come around on him over the last year with his cancer comeback, with Reigns last week talking about how he's the hardest working guy in the company. Really? You're harder working than Daniel Bryan. Really? You're harder. I mean, like, you could go down the list of guys that, you just basically crapped on saying you're the hardest working, right? And then this week coming out and saying that, coming face to face with Goldberg and doing the contract signing, and boy, WWE loves their contract signings right now. Goldberg said to Roman Reigns that, obviously you're next. Roman Reigns said to Goldberg that, I was selected by other guys before you, that they chose me, as in he's talking about John Cena. He talked about The Undertaker. He's talked about all these men that he has faced at WrestleMania, Triple H, that they chose him and that he'll be the next guy on his list. He said he beat them all, and I'm going to beat you at WrestleMania. It was a very terrible – I mean, neither guy is great at promos, so this is just extra bad in terms of the promo. Roman Reigns, if he's playing the babyface here, WWE is doing an awful job of him portraying the babyface as they've done his entire career as a face. So that's my two thoughts on it. Obviously, I think Goldberg's going to drop the belt as we all envision it happening. Do you even care about this match?
No. as you said, I think that Goldberg's going to drop the title to Reigns. With Reigns saying all this stuff, it's just weird right now. Again, I don't really have an opinion about it. This is kind of a flow over match. I'm more concerned or into Brock Drew. I can't stand Goldberg, so I don't have an opinion. It's not even, I don't even have a hatred for Roman Reigns. I just think that, it is what it is, and they're going to move through. And, again, we just said we're in uncertain times, so, them just making up stuff as they go along, that's what's going to happen right now. I think it's more of an interesting thing of Becky and Shayna, and now Bayley being in, what was it? It's a
six-pack challenge.
Six-pack challenge for his title, and that's what I've been saying for months, getting the title off of her and putting it on Sasha. I think Sasha is going to win that match. So I don't like you said, I don't care about Roman Reigns, Goldberg. It's just whatever. Undertaker coming out with AJ this week was more significant to me than that's what's going on, because Undertaker looks weird. He's a mixed breed. He's half Undertaker and he's half badass. And he had all that gear on. He looks in good shape, So right now, as far as WrestleMania goes, I'm more hyped for that match and more hyped for Edge and Randy Orton, obviously. And I'm more hyped for the six pack challenge for Bayley against everybody else, because I think that the title is going to go to Sasha and it's going to completely change the women's division.
I think it is too. And Paige coming out.
Paige is coming back, though. I think that, not to cut you off, I think Paige is coming back, but this whole thing just, like, delayed it. You know?
I agree.
So I think that they made this thing and her, like, announcing this match. I think that just because it's not, like, fluid like it normally is, Paige is coming back and Paige is getting that title. I 100% believe that. But I also think that this is a way, like I said, like with Bailey and Sasha being like sidekicks and stuff like that, and it's being reversed and it not the way it should be. I think that Sasha takes the title at WrestleMania and Bailey's her sidekick, and then we're getting Paige back.
I think that's a possibility, or Bailey retains and you have Paige come out the next night. I mean, you wouldn't build the tension with Bailey and Paige the way you did on SmackDown. I know Paige was via Skype, but you wouldn't build it with a lot of tension between those two if you weren't eventually going to get there. WWE doesn't really, they don't have a history of promising something and then not delivering it, or teasing it and not delivering it. Typically, they are very good about at least being obvious about a match that they know the fans want and that they feel that they can deliver sometime along the way. And so if it is Paige and Bayley, eventually, if Bayley retains at Mania, I would go with Paige versus Bayley and having Paige finally take the belt off Bayley. And I know WWE has put Sasha in this match, and that to me is really the big thing. I mean, that is the takeaway here beyond Paige teasing, even though she said she can't come back, that there is some tension there. The big thing here is Sasha being involved in this match. Does she take it from Bayley? You know, what does she do? Does she not get physical with Bayley until the end of the match if she's still there? There's a lot of tension. I mean, obviously the easy answer is, the lazy analysis is, well, it's going to come down to Bayley and Sasha. And it very well may, and that's probably the odds on favorite. But there's the chance that maybe Sasha's eliminated and you don't have to worry about that, and Bayley retains, and then you get Paige returning the next night after Bayley's gloating about beating six other women. And not to get on a side note, but I'm getting on a side note with that. You have Tamina being involved in this. How is that even a thing?
Wait, what, Tamina's? I didn't even know about this. Wait, hold on. Tamina's involved in this?
Take a look at the six-pack challenge, the competitors in that match. For the women's title on SmackDown. Guys, if you haven't watched SmackDown, and I know some of you do, some of you don't, some of you rely on this show to give you a quick review, take a look at the women that are involved in the six-pack challenge at WrestleMania. It's scary. I mean, as far as the names of the people in there, outside of Lacey Evans, who has admittedly been has been prominently positioned in the company, you have Naomi. Okay, fair. She has been, you know, since her return, has been relevant. But then you have Tamina and Dana Brooke as the other two competitors. How, like, in what world? This is the problem with WWE, and I went on a small rant on this last night on my 15-minute show, but, like, I don't understand WWE's logic of everyone gets a jersey at WrestleMania. Why does everyone get a jersey? It's WrestleMania. You don't have every team involved in the NFL and the Super Bowl. You only have the best of the best. Same with the World Series. Same with the NBA Finals. The Stanley Cup. You have the best of the best. And WWE's mentality is, well, everyone gets a jersey. And I think, well, number one, I know that people are saying, oh, well, you know, that's, they're in the company. They should get a chance at WrestleMania. No, they shouldn't, because that's reserved for the best of the best. And when you do this and you put six women in there, you know, three of which deserve it, two of which have no business being in there. None. Zero. With Dana Brooke and Tamina, who, again, Tamina, where the hell is she? Is she even still employed with the
Dana
company?
Dana Brooke has more of a... I'm not saying, like, Dana Brooke is, like, the best of the best, but, like, Dana Brooke obviously has more gout or whatever the term is to be in that match than Tamina does. Like, but at least Dana Brooke has been, like, competing on some sort of level.
No, she has at least been on TV, used in an occasional enhancement match. But my point is, when is the last time Dana Brooke even won a match? I mean, if you're not going to have wins and losses mean anything, then okay. I mean, I guess. But the point is, you're at the biggest show of the year, of which two of your competitors in this match have done nothing to earn it and haven't won a match in name the last time these two even won a match. I mean, wins and losses have to mean something. So that's my only point. I know they're trying to give everyone a shot at WrestleMania. They always have a women's battle royal or a six-pack challenge or a fatal four-way. I get all that. But from like a storyline perspective and a credibility perspective and just, you know, making freaking sense with how people get put in on the biggest stage in a championship match for two people that have not even shown a way to earn it other than, okay, they've been here a while. Well, great, but at least build them up for that. If you're going to put them in this match, at least make the next couple of weeks that you have left, make them win a few matches, make them relevant instead of just, oh, and they're probably sitting at home going, oh, wow, I'm in this match. Wow, how did that happen? I mean, it's just, I don't know. I'll stop.
I get it. It's like me being like, you know, intruding in 1994 and everybody get a participation trophy, and I probably shouldn't have been on the intruding team. I get it. I don't know. We're going to have to see how this works out. Again, I think that like everything, like with everything that's going on, has been like kind of skewed too, even though like I don't think that the WWE would be not doing this during this stuff, because they're typical and this is what they do. But I'm basically saying that Tamina, like, being a body, is the same thing we could say with Elimination Chamber. Like, why was the Riot Squad in there other than Ruby Riot?
I had the same argument. That doesn't make it right. I mean, like, you, and furthermore, you have Shayna Baszler, obviously the focal point of that match, and I know we're talking about Chamber, but you have Shayna Baszler come out and basically tear the flesh off Becky's neck and then get rewarded with a shot at the championship inside Elimination Chamber and mow through people. I know she, quote, had to earn it, but the whole premise that WWE has been guilty of since day one that I've been watching since 97 at Bad Blood, is that WWE uses the logic of all you have to do to get a championship match is attack a champion. That's all. You don't have to actually go through a tournament. Yeah, I know. And I know that you can't always do it in an official structured way, but they're very kind of lazy way and non-logical way of getting somebody a championship match is just to attack the champion backstage at their home in the middle of a match, screw them out of something. So all you have to do is just be an a-hole and attack a champion and you get your match. I mean, that's essentially what WWE has been booking for decades now. So,
I mean, yeah, again, we'll see. I don't have, like, you're absolutely right in everything that you just said. I don't have a response to it. It is what it is, you know, but we will see. I think that Shayna's taken the title. I mean, I would hope that Shayna's taken the title. Things have been iffy. Wrestling's a bit weird right now. It's hard to follow. So you make your assumptions. And, like, you're going toward the trajectory, that was probably wrong, path, where wrestling is going. And you just kind of sit on it, you know. There's so many things going on right now. Again, I'm happy that they're doing a two-day thing, but I also think that WrestleMania should have been postponed, because you can't have WrestleMania without the spectacle. And if they're not putting wrestlers in the arena to make up for that spectacle, then what's the point? And that's it. I really hope Drew wins the title, but like, I don't even know if he's gonna win the title from Brock, because there's been nothing, you know, there's no build up right now. We're kind of watching on like a clock to clock thing. So what do you think about it?
With Brock and Drew, I'm looking forward to that match. There hasn't been a whole lot of build either. I know, obviously, with Brock Lesnar's extremely limited schedule, they're not going to use him on a weekly basis. I don't know if that would have changed had this whole virus thing and changed the whole dynamic of where they're doing their shows. This coming week, Brock Lesnar and Drew McIntyre were advertised to both be at Raw, so I would assume that both guys will have some kind of interaction. I would assume after the three Claymore kicks that we last saw from Drew McIntyre on Brock, that Brock would get his heat back this coming Monday. just makes sense. I think Brock is going to probably get maybe an F5, maybe three F5s to kind of even the score and get the heat back. So, I'm looking forward to the match. I would absolutely say with very, very, very high confidence that Drew McIntyre should be anointed at WrestleMania, should take the belt off of Brock Lesnar. And with another championship match, and this is actually one of the last notes I had, what do you think about Sami Zayn winning the Intercontinental Championship at Elimination Chamber from Braun Strowman? And then you have kind of Daniel Bryan now inserting himself with Drew Gulak. And if Gulak beats Nakamura next week, Daniel Bryan gets a shot at the IC title, but we still have Braun Strowman out there. So how do you think this is all going to play out? Do you like Drew, do you like Daniel Bryan and Gulak? What do you think about the whole storyline going on here with the IC title?
I think it's awesome that Sammy finally got a title.
Yes.
Because that guy has been so overdue. I don't care about, like, circumstances or anything like that. Like, Sami Zayn should have been a title holder or whatever title, especially the Intercontinental title. That made me happy. I'm glad that he got it. He's long overdue. That guy is a backbone, and I mean, he deserved the title more than Nakamura. I'm sorry. Like, Nakamura bores the crap out of me. Like, they have a terrible, like, WWE has a terrible tract of, like, doing, like, foreigners and stuff like that. Like, just, like, doing people that aren't in their groove. So, like, it's not that I hate Nakamura. It's just Sami Zayn has been overlooked for so long, so I'm just glad they had his title. What he's going to do with it, how they're going to pertain to it, it might be a Dean Ambrose, you know, run. I'm not saying that. So what was the second part of the question? It was about...
Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak.
I think that's awesome. I mean, Daniel Bryan is Daniel Bryan. Anything that Daniel Bryan does, I'm never going to hate. And the fact that, like, I've watched Drew Gulak. I watched him when he was coming up in 205. Like, I mean, I know he was otherwise somewhere. But, like, that he's having this, like, leadership. I like those things. And he's just being like, yeah, I might be the veteran, but you need to teach me and that you're better than me. I like it. I absolutely like it. The bothersome thing is that, like, WWE doesn't follow through on stuff like that. And it's the same thing with, like, Sami Zayn being in his faction, let's say right now. Like, how long is that going to last? So while I like the Daniel Bryan stuff with Drew Gulak, and I think it's good, because both of them are just, like, so, like, ridiculous. Like, the stuff that they've been putting on the last couple of weeks, despite everything that's going on, has been, like, amazing. Like, I haven't been paying attention a lot because you said, like, the repeats, like, showing, like, Royal Rumble or showing Elimination Chamber. I haven't, but, like, I've been looking for their matches. I've been looking for everything that they're doing, and I think it's great. I love it. I love their alliance.
Yeah, no, I agree. And this to me is really about elevating Drew Gulak, a name that probably 60% of people didn't even know prior to Daniel Bryan getting involved with him, because they didn't follow NXT and they didn't follow, you know, 205 Live. And they just did not know who Drew Gulak was, and now they do. And that's a good thing. I'm always for elevating stars to create that next star. Daniel Bryan and Gulak seem to have a very natural chemistry. I like the way that they work together. They have similar styles. They look kind of alike in certain ways too, with their beards and their hair. They just are gelling. I hope they keep this together and there's not a turn from Gulak or anything. I need this to continue. I think they're doing something relevant, and I'm glad Daniel Bryan is not just being kind of shoved to the side. He's involved, hopefully, in an IC title match. But I know Braun Strowman is also after Sami Zayn, too, after not being able to ever get his hands on Sami Zayn. And they played that up big time after the Elimination Chamber. So do I want to see Sami Zayn get his ass kicked by Braun Strowman as well? Yeah, I kind of do. But that's a compliment to Zayn. I absolutely, every time I see Sami Zayn out there, it's I love hearing and seeing him. And I mean that in a way that's, I want to see someone beat his ass, but that's what I'm supposed to feel. And that's what I actually feel, even though I know transparently they're trying to make me feel that way. That's how I know, that's how good he is right now. And Sami Zayn, yeah, he's been overlooked. And I can't believe this is his first singles championship in WWE. It has been a long time coming. I hope that he retains, and he retains at WrestleMania. I don't think Daniel Bryan needs it. As much as we all love him, Sami Zayn needs it more than Daniel Bryan does. As much as fans may say, but Daniel Bryan is a bigger star. Yeah, he is. But he can absorb a loss like that. Sami Zayn can't. Right now, Sami Zayn is on the mend. He's doing something relevant. I don't need him dropping the belt at Mania. Hopefully he retains, and it's a long run with him bragging and using Cesaro and Shinsuke to retain the belt. That's what my hope is. So, I know I'm not trying to cut this short, but I have to telecommute tomorrow. I know many of you are probably in that same boat. I have to be up at a somewhat reasonable hour. And I know, Mary, that you are... Well, you're not going to be telecommuting, but you have other things on your plate for sure. So I don't want to keep you from that.
Yeah, no, I start school back up tomorrow, and it's weird. So everything's online. But I'm doing good. And just to reevaluate what you just said, I've always loved the Sami Zayn, Shinsuke, Cesaro thing because it kind of puts them in front. But absolutely, like, Daniel Bryan is Teflon. Like, you know, everybody gets this Teflon status, and Daniel Bryan is fine in all this. These guys need to be elevated, and, like, Sami Zayn, all generic, whatever he was, you know, he came there, and he's amazing. I think he's done an amazing thing of being an annoying manager and stuff like that, and... Daniel Bryan elevating somebody like Drew Gulak, who is phenomenal in the ring. If you haven't watched like any of his matches, go back and watch him, you know? I think it's a good thing. But yeah. I'm not keeping you. I hope I'm not keeping you. We've been trying to catch up because there is a craziness going on in the world right now. And yeah, that's my final thoughts about that. Everything's good. Wrestling's gonna be good. We'll see how WrestleMania plays out. I'm excited to night event. My birthday is next week. I don't want to talk about it, but I'm posting it right now. So, you know, we'll see how everything goes, you know.
Hey, 21 is a big year. I mean,
21 is a huge year. I'm going to be 21, guys.
Boy, that seems like an eternity ago, doesn't it? It's just crazy. Like, I mean, I'm 35.
I don't even want to talk about my birthday.
I won't reveal the age. I won't reveal it, but I will. I do hear you. I do hear you. Being 21, it's funny. I mean, we all drank. At least I did. I drank way before 21. As many people did. So getting to 21 was just kind of like, all right, I don't have to go to the, you know, worry about chalking my ID anymore. At least, I mean, that's just what it was. I mean, my 20s were kind of a blur. I mean, for the most part, yeah. Like, but the thing is, like, I'm not. People are like, isn't no that's not good. Don't you want to? Don't you hope you remember your 20s? I'm like, not really. Like,
not really.
I don't actually regret it. Like, I'm just it was awesome.
I feel the same way. Absolutely. So anyway, WrestleMania will be good. I will talk to you guys in 3 weeks. Everybody out there. Please be safe. Take care of your elders. Wash your hands. I know I shouldn't have to say that, but say, you know, do what you gotta do. And we will get through this, and wrestling will get us through this because WWE is phenomenal with trying to entertain us in hard times. So, love you, everybody. Matt, be safe with your family, and you can finish this up. Wrap it up.
Awesome. Well, Mary, thank you so much for being a part of the show tonight. I know that it's a tough time for all of us, whether you're bored at home or whether you have family members you're concerned about or whatever the situation may be. It's a weird ass time that I hope we all look back on and go, man, I'm glad that's over. But I'm glad we learned this and that and this and that or whatever. You know, there's a silver lining in this whole thing. I think that it's going to be a time that we look back and obviously we're going to feel like we were ill prepared, and we were, because I don't think anyone really saw this coming to this magnitude. And it's going to be a time that we'll be able to tell our kids about, and you know, that, hey, we actually were locked down in our homes for months on end, and you know, and we survived it. Hopefully everyone listening to this is able to say that. So yeah, it's crazy. Wrestling is going to be crazy. But like you said, as much as we all rag on WWE sometimes for their, oh, this story doesn't make sense, they cast this person wrong, heel, face, the fact of the matter is, I appreciate the fact that they are continuing to pump out content and try to do what they do. And the Vince McMahon theory and motto of the show must go on, we've seen it when Owen Hart died, they continued that pay-per-view. We saw it when 9/11 happened. They continued the next show on SmackDown 2 days later in Houston, Texas. I remember all that. So I appreciate WWE for being able to do that. I think we have a new appreciation for live audiences. We have a new appreciation for the WWE itself. I think there's going to be a love there that may have been lost over the years. So this is going to be, I think, and again, focus on when we're coming back, because when things come back and the light switch gets turned on, I think everything's going to explode in a good way. Wrestling's going to be hotter than ever. Every sport you know is going to be back at the same time. People are going to be packed again in bars, and people are going to be having a good time in summer. So that's what I think we all need to focus on. So I don't know. That's just my two cents in my feel-good kumbaya moment.
Be positive and love your life, quote 311.
There you go. I like that. I like that. And hopefully no zombie apocalypse, right?
I know. I want zombies. There's going to be a payoff. We were talking about this before the show.
I know.
Zombies if we're going to live through this. But anyway, the bottom line is, guys, take care of yourself. Be smart. Look after your elders. Be conscious of how you are interacting with people right now. And, again, be positive and just love your life, man. That's what we got to do, and wrestling will get us through.
It really will. It is my crutch right now. So, all right. Well, Mary, we will be talking in 3 short weeks, or maybe after WrestleMania if we do a mega show again. Maybe we will.
Maybe we'll do a birthday party for Mary's show. My birthday is next week. Hey, Monday night, the 30th.
Oh damn! All right. Yeah, no, that'll be. Hey, nobody's doing anything.
Yeah, so like no maybe one's got. We
the thing is,
it.
Like, no one's got an excuse right anymore. They can't be like, oh well, I gotta go do this or that. It's like, no, you don't. Like, no, you don't. Like, there's nothing happening. So that's very true.
All right,
be Mary.
Safe.
Well, yeah,
be
you
safe.
Too.
Everybody, be safe. Thanks for listening.
All righty, and we'll be again. You just gotta board up your house. Because if there's an apocalypse, just contact Mary. She knows what to do.
I always know what to do.
All right. You take care.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. You too.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show. Or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.